I want to welcome you back again. I hope you're doing well and that you are growing in your awakening and moving more deeply into abiding. We're going to talk more about abiding today. Before we do, though, let me remind you of a few things. If you go to the healingcare.org website, there are some videos that can help you on your spiritual journey, some about deep healing. There's also a connection here to Sling Stones that you can find on healingcare.org, but also the list of seminars that we're going to be doing coming up. I want to remind you that we have a seminar coming up in Ashland, Ohio. It's going to be the second week of January. If you're interested, you can contact my assistant, Lynn. She's actually the director of Healing Care Ministries, and you can talk to her. You can reach her at Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, at healingcare.org, and if you do, she can tell you about the times, the dates, and also housing, anything else you need to know. Well, it's good to be with you again, and I'm excited to once again talk to you about this whole issue of abiding. Now, before we go on into the text in John 15, I want to go back to the Old Testament, because there's a story in the Old Testament that I think sets this issue up very, very well. You see, the children of Israel had been taken off into bondage and spent many, many years away from home, away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been sacked. The temple had been destroyed. And they were living out in another land, in other cultures, and felt a great disconnect between who they were supposed to be and now what was forced upon them as individuals that were in bondage to other people. But eventually God moved, and they were able to go back home. And as they did, under the leaders that God appointed, what happened is they had to begin to rebuild their lives. I mean, Jerusalem and Israel was just devastated. Now, one of the first things they did was go back and lay the foundation of the temple. And the foundation of the temple represented the heart of their relationship with God. It was about the sacrifice of for sin and the offerings in thanks. And they laid the foundation again to see some temple rebuilt. And they also put together an altar where these atoning sacrifices could be made. But after they laid the foundation and did this altar, they went off to build their own homes. Well, as can often happen with people, they went off to build their own homes, and they began to spend a lot of time rebuilding. We can imagine that they put together their basic home, and then they thought, well, let's make a patio on the back. And once they had a patio on the back, well, why don't we cover the patio so that there's some shade? And then, of course, we want to plant our vineyard, and we want to make sure we have a good well. And, oh, you know, in case people come over, let's build a little addition onto the house. So what happened was, once they started to attend to their own needs, they forgot to go back and begin to rebuild the actual temple. They had a foundation, which could represent the foundation of a relationship with God. And they had the sacrificial system, but beyond that, they didn't do anything else. And all of a sudden, the prophet Haggai comes. And Haggai challenges them, and he calls them together, and he basically says, don't you understand what's going on here? Right now, your clothes are wearing out before time. You have purses, but they seem to have holes in it. There's no abundance in our lives. Don't you understand that you have been inattentive to God's house, paying attention to your house, and that that's part of the reason that you're experiencing this today? And so what Haggai did is he challenged him. He said, go build God's house. And actually, through the prophet, God said, build my house. Now, if abiding has to do with learning to live in the heart of Christ, let Christ's heart become your home, then there's an interesting parallel between this teaching in the book of Haggai and what needs to happen in our lives. There are many, many Christians, and I've been there myself, that, well, we basically have a foundational, but only foundational, relationship with God. We understand that God sent his son. We've accepted Christ into our lives. We maybe made a few little rearrangements to align ourselves, go to church once in a while, recognize a little better the difference between what's loving and unloving. But then we get so caught up into our own lives, building a career, building a family, building a reputation, building bigger barns in order that we can have more possessions. And then we wonder why it's so difficult for us to spend time abiding in the Lord. Well, I think this is something that should challenge us. It challenged me. Do I need to go and build God's house? Do I need to see that I am made for a spiritual relationship with God through Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that it demands me being attentive? Now remember, we're a branch. And a branch can do nothing on its own. It dries up. It becomes absent of life. As Scripture says, it's not worthy of anything except to be thrown out and burned. But if we come and we recognize that deep inside of us abides our true self, the light of God's presence, the more we invest there, the more we will come alive to who we really are. So as the Holy Spirit is awakening us to the wonder of the kingdom and the fullness of what Christ has done for us and the glory of living with him in the present moment and how to let the true self come forward and experiencing him in community, as the Holy Spirit does that, then the life of Jesus begins to flow into us as branches, and we can learn how to abide more in him. Well, let's talk a little bit now today about this important notion of abiding. Now, I said something the other day, and I think it's important to reemphasize it, that abiding is relational. It's not transactional. I never tire of talking about this because I think so many Christians fall into a ditch by embracing Christianity as a transactional understanding. Now, I know we've talked about this before, and sometimes I repeat myself possibly too much, but I'm going to repeat myself again here, and that is the transaction have to do with I have something someone else wants, they have something I want, and we begin to make the transaction. I just sold my father's car yesterday, and this family wanted the car, and I wanted a certain amount of money, and so we negotiated back and forth, and we found a way that we both got what we wanted, and our joy was then in that we both got what we wanted. That's a transaction. And there are many of us that begin to embrace the Christian life as though it were transactional. God has all the goodies. He demands holiness of us. And if we serve him enough and perform enough and do enough spiritual disciplines, then he begins to lay out his blessings. But you know, God didn't call us into a transaction. God is calling us into a relationship with him. Remember when we talked about awakening? The purpose of awakening is to draw us into intimacy with him, to bond all the more the union that we can have with him, and then to also empower us to be a factor in advancing the kingdom. This is relational. Relationships are not about performing, they're about positioning. And positioning means choosing to be in a place that will deepen that relationship. So why do my wife and I spend a lot of time together? Because we position to grow deeper with one another. We don't spend time to figure out a transaction that I need to figure out what she wants, and if I do what she wants, she'll do what I want. That's not a relationship. A relationship is about positioning ourselves to be where they are so that the relationship goes deeper. So when we begin to talk about abiding, often the conversation comes up about spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices. Spiritual disciplines are things like prayer, reading scripture, meeting with other Christians, fasting. Spiritual exercises would be different kinds of spiritual exercises such as the Jesus prayer, breath prayer, learning how to do quiet listening. We don't do those things so that God looks down and says, wow, I'm impressed because of what Terry's doing, so I'll give him some extra blessing. We do those things because it positions us to grow in relationship. So it takes time, That's part of abiding. It takes space. It's good to have a sacred space in which we begin to embrace these things. And I do believe it takes a certain amount of spiritual exercise and practice. But it's all leading to the notion of deeper and deeper relationship. In John chapter 15, he talks about the fact that you remain in me, I remain in you. That's in verse 4. Remaining, what are other words we could do? Abide in me, I abide in you. Spend time with me, I spend time with you. Be close to me, I be close to you. It's a relational issue. So why is it that when the wind blows and I find a branch that's fallen off of one of our many trees here at the farm, laying out in a field or in the backyard, why is it that I know that branch is going to end up down on my burning pile? Because it is not in relationship to the trunk of the tree. And when it is not in relationship to the trunk of the tree, it is going to dry up, the leaves are going to wither and fall off, and it's only going to be good for me to light a fire, warm my hands a little bit, and then it's gone. In order to stay alive, the relationship must be deep connection. And so this is one of the first things that we're learning here in Scripture, and that is that God wants us to be in a deep, abiding relationship with Him. And that's possible because we, in fact, are His children. He welcomes us. And the Holy Spirit's present within us. Now, I know that the world clamors for us to do all kinds of things, and often we have this crisis of priority, but I am convinced that in your heart, even as we speak about this, something is alive inside. Something is saying, this is what I want. I want to really feel and sense and grow in my relationship with Jesus. You were made for this. The Spirit within you is calling out for this. And so I think it's important that you recognize that abiding is very much relational, not transactional. So when you the next time think, oh man, I really need God to bless me, what can I do to make Him happy? Just stop. You are His child. The blessings of God come because you go spend time with Him. Position yourself, and God will begin to do great work. Now, there's a second principle, if you will, of abiding that I want to lift up today, and that principle is this. You're going to have to eliminate if you want to concentrate. That's right. You got to eliminate if you want to concentrate. I think it was Socrates that talked about the barrenness of a busy life. And when we're out using every hour we have to attend to all the needs that we keep accumulating more and more, it's very, very difficult to be alive in Christ. So the Bible talks about this. It does in John 15, because one of the things it says very early on is that God will cut off the branch that doesn't bear fruit. That sometimes things have to be eliminated in order to concentrate. Now, what I appreciate about the Spirit that is, if I'm open to the awakening of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to speak into my heart about what I need to eliminate in my life. Often what I need to eliminate is a life without margin. Also, I think we need to learn to eliminate hurry. That if we would give ourselves some margin, some space, some quiet, that all of a sudden we're able to grow deeper in our abiding. Now, I admit that a lot of us don't like to eliminate, but at the same time, by doing that, we're able to grow deeper in the Lord. There's a wonderful scripture, I've probably mentioned it numerous times. It's in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, where Jesus says, come away with me, okay, to a desolate place and get some rest. Come away with me. What a wonderful concept that Jesus is whispering to your heart and saying, come away with me. Now, to go away with Christ, you got to eliminate something else you're doing. You got to set it aside. But Jesus whispers, come away with me. And then he says, to a desolate place. And that doesn't mean you have to go to the desert, although that's not bad. The desert fathers did it for a long, long time. But what he means by that is come to a place where you're not going to be bombarded with noise, constant interruptions. I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, I was listening to the news and someone commented that today people look at their cell phone 85 times a day. 85 times. Well, if you're wondering, what is it that I could eliminate in order that I could concentrate, why not start to think about screens? That anything that has a screen could maybe be placed within limits in order that you can open up some other time for the Lord. That's the way we begin to move forward. Now, look, I think I need to tell you something else, and that is that abiding, as rich as it is, and as much as it brings new life and new fruit to us, does cost us. It does. It costs us because you have to allow the Lord to help us eliminate. Now, one of the realities in my life that I've recognized that if I don't eliminate in order to concentrate, often God will. And there's something about God doing it that isn't quite as pleasant, if you will, as me choosing into it. I've had that happen far too many times. By the way, it just came to my mind, but there's a book by Henry Nouwen, Intimacy, Fecundity, and Ecstasy. It's a book about John 15. And one of the things he talks about is that if we are intimate in our abiding, it leads to a more fruitful life. And that fruitful life will then lead into a wonderful experience of deeper joy. Look, I'll never forget, as I look at Scripture, where Jesus is in the midst of a healing campaign, and he gets apart from all the people that are clamoring for him, and he gets quiet because he wanted to find out what is it that God's wanting him to do. Out of the intimacy, the relationship of abiding, he's able to know what he's to prioritize and where he's to step aside. And it's not simply all the needs of the world that we need to go and be attentive to, but it's a willingness to come before the Lord and ask the question, what can we do? Now, there's a passage that's rather challenging here. It talks about laying down our lives. Now, I realize that Jesus actually laid down his life, and he was also talking about the fact that there is no greater love you can have for another person than to lay down your life. But, you know, there's a way that it's kind of hit me is that sometimes in order to abide, I've got to lay down life as I know it. I've got to just look at my life and the way I'm organizing my days and my priorities, and I need to lay down the way I'm doing life in order to build a life of relationship. You know, it's been years since I was single. My wife and I will be married 43 years coming this January. But this is just a fact for anybody that's married. I couldn't live once I was married the way I lived before I was married. I had to eliminate certain things in order to embrace other things. I couldn't go wherever I wanted and anytime I wanted and do whatever I wanted for as long as I wanted. Why? Because I was now seeking to build a relationship. In order to abide, to spend our life in the heart of Christ, we have to recognize it's relational, not transactional, and that it demands that we eliminate in order that we can concentrate. Now, I like to begin by, in my own life, by not asking, Lord, what are all the things I need to eliminate? But I like to go to the Lord and ask a very simple question. Lord, what right now, what one thing would you have me set aside in order that I could grow deeper in you? That's manageable. It's direct. It can be clear. And so that's my challenge as you begin to think about abiding. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is awakening you, to show you where is it in your life right now that you could do some eliminating in order to concentrate. I would suggest that you might want to consider that if it has a screen, that might be a place to start. I know, even as I'm sitting here, having this opportunity to share with you, that God longs to draw us into his embrace. that he's a father of love that wants his children to be secure in his heart and has made a provision for that through our Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is awakening us. And my hope is that even as we're talking, something is stirring in you and saying, I want to abide more deeply in my relationship with God. Awakening begins to flow into abiding, and abiding becomes rich and alive. Well, may God bless you. I will look forward to our time together again. If you get a chance, share with a friend about Sling Stones. Maybe they'd be blessed by it too. Until the next time.